Judges 15, verses 1 through 8. After a while, in the time of wheat harvest, it happened that Samson visited his wife with a young goat. And he said, "Let me go into my wife, into her room." But her father would not permit him to go in. Her father said, "I really thought that you thoroughly hated her. Therefore, I gave her to your companion. Is not her younger sister better than she? Please, take her instead." And Samson said to them, "This time I shall be blameless regarding the Philistines if I harm them." Then Samson went and caught 300 foxes, and he took torches, turned the foxes tail to tail, and put a torch between each pair of tails. When he had set the torches on fire, he let the foxes go into the standing grain of the Philistines and burned up both the shocks and the standing grain, as well as the vineyards and olive groves. Then the Philistines said, "Who has done this?" And they answered, "Samson, the son-in-law of the Timnite, because he has taken his wife and given her to his companion." So the Philistines came up and burned her and her father with fire. Samson said to them, "Since you would do a thing like this, I will surely take revenge on you, and after that I will cease." So he attacked them hip and thigh with a great slaughter. Then he went down and dwelt in the cleft of the rock of Etam. Today's message is entitled, "The Revenger." Only God is to take revenge. "Vengeance is mine," says the Lord. How many of us seek revenge? We seek revenge in our word. We seek revenge in our thoughts. And we seek revenge indeed. We seek revenge against spouses. We seek revenge against our children. We seek revenge against our relatives, our co-workers, our neighbors, and even fellow congregants. Do you, brothers and sisters, do you want them to get what you think that they have coming? That is a spirit of revenge. You want them to get what you think that they have coming to them, what they deserve. Revenge is usually the fruit of not getting what we wanted through our acts of manipulation, as we seen last time with Samson, with all the manipulation that he was doing. Revenge is usually the fruit. It's the child of your manipulations. Once you don't get what you wanted to get from that person, place, or things, then that manipulation has a child, and that child is called revenge. We are not, as we saw last time, to entice. We are not to bribe with gifts. We're not to bribe with our promises. We are not to return a manipulation with a manipulation. This is all you have so far in the story with Samson. One manipulation, his wife's manipulating, the Philistines are manipulating. We are not to return a manipulation with a manipulation. We are not, brothers and sisters, as Christians, to inflict punishment. We are not to inflict injury, nor are we to return this for that. Instead of revenge, Christ has called us to be a compassionate people, a forgiving people, a merciful people, a kind people, a gentle people, a long-suffering people. We are to look like Christ. We are to act like Christ. We are to be Christ. We are to be Christ ones. It is no longer I who lives, but Christ Jesus who lives in me. Would you not want to be known as one who turns the other cheek, as opposed to one that inflicts pain and injury? Would you not want to be known as one that loves their enemies? Would you not want to be known as one that prays for those who despitefully use them, who spitefully uses them? If you turn love and pray, you will begin to act like Christ, to look like Christ, to be Christ. Let us return to our main character, Samson. In Judges 15:1, it says, "After a while, in the time of wheat harvest, it happened that Samson visited his wife with a young goat, and he said, 'Let me go into my wife, into her room.'" The last we had seen Samson, in the last chapter, in verse 19, he had gone away angry. He was furious with his wife. The last you hear of Samson, he leaves in a rage and goes back to his father's house and leaves his wife at his father-in-law's house. Now, you don't read nothing about Samson prayed, Samson repented, Samson did anything. What you read is Samson visited his wife with a young goat. He leaves in a rage, and now you have Samson with a smile on his face, a twinkle in his eye, chocolate and flowers in one hand, and a goat in the other hand. And here he is, returning to his wife. He had left her in anger, in bitterness, in hostility. You read nothing of repentance, nothing of prayer. Just, "Here I am, sweetheart. I have returned home." Returns to see his wife. But he doesn't come repenting of his anger. Rather, Samson is manipulating once again with a gift. Here is a gift. Here is a goat. Now let me go into her. Every Jew knew what it said in the Torah. They knew the story in Genesis 38. In Genesis 38, verses 15 to verse 20. There was another gentleman one time that brought a goat also. Genesis 38, verses 15 through 20. When Judah saw her, he thought she was a harlot because she had covered her face. Then he turned to her by the way and said, "Please, let me come into you." For he did not know that she was his daughter-in-law. So she said, "What will you give me that you may come into me?" And he said, "I will send a young goat from the flock." So she said, "Will you give me a pledge till you send it?" Then he said, "What pledge shall I give you?" So she said, "Your signet and cord and your staff that is in your hand." Then he gave them to her and went into her, and she conceived by them. So she arose and went away and laid aside her veil and put on the garments of a widowhood. And Judah sent the young goat by the hand of his friend, the Adullamite. So Samson, he loves his wife so much, he brings her the price of a prostitute. Not, "I'm sorry for leaving you in anger. I repented of my sin. Forgive me. I've sinned against you, my wife. Forgive me that I have shamed you in the manner that I did." He doesn't do that. He comes once again with the goat to manipulate. Judah in Genesis is this, as Samson, he's a man driven by lust. He went into his daughter-in-law, a man driven by lust, personal gratification. This is what Samson's about. Tamar in Genesis knew that about her father-in-law. Samson's father-in-law knew this about Samson. What does his father-in-law say in verse 2 of Judges 15? Her father said, I really thought that you thoroughly hated her. Therefore, I gave her to your companion. Is not her younger sister better than her? Better than she? Please, take her instead. Judah was a man driven by lust. Samson was a man driven by lust. Those around you will know that you are one that is driven by lust. And do not be deceived. The enemy of your soul knows if you are a man or a woman that is driven by your lust and by your passions. Samson did not repent. All he did was bring a gift. There is no repentance. Everyone's trying to get what they want with gifts. Samson, here's a gift. Here's a goat. Here's the father-in-law. He says, here, you can have my daughter. That daughter didn't work out for you. Here's my other daughter. Take her as a gift. And here's a guy, you just seen Samson leave your other daughter in a rage. And you know what he did to the Philistines, who are your people. And now you turn around, take this daughter of mine. Another gift giver. Wanting gifts, manipulating with gifts. Here's Samson. Here's a goat. Here's the father-in-law. Here's my daughter. Here, I'll do this for you. You do this for me. An eye for an eye, a tit for a tat. And then, as we read this morning in 1 Samuel in our reading, we see King Saul was the same way with God. Same way. Turn to 1 Samuel 15. The same exact way. 1 Samuel 15. No repentance. People want to give gifts. 1 Samuel 15. I'll give you an overview from verse 1 through 23 to show you the contents. Now therefore, heed the voice of the words of the Lord. Samuel telling Saul, go and attack Amalek. Utterly destroy all that they have and do not spare them. But kill both men and women and infant and nursing child, ox and sheep and camel and donkey. The Lord says, this is what I want you to do. Verse 7. Saul attacked the Amalekites. Verse 8. He also took Agag, king of the Amalekites, alive. What did it just say in verse 3? Kill them all. Verse 7. Saul attacked the Amalekites. Verse 8. He also took Agag, king of the Amalekites, alive. And utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword. He didn't kill them all. Verse 9. But Saul and the people spared Agag and the best of the sheep. The second half of verse 9. But everything despised and worthless, that they utterly destroyed. God said, I want you to do this. But they said, no, we're going to do that. Now the word of the Lord comes to Samuel. He goes back to Saul. He tells Saul, you have turned back from following God and has not performed the commandments. Samuel says to Saul, blessed are you of the Lord. I performed the commandment of the Lord. Saul says to Samuel, what then is the bleeping of this sheep in my ears and the lowing of the oxen which I hear? And Saul said, they have brought them from the Amalekites. For the people spared the best of the sheep and the oxen to sacrifice to the Lord. Their God. They want to sacrifice now to the Lord. The Lord told them what he wanted them to do. But now we're going to sacrifice. We're going to sacrifice the very thing you told us not to do. We're going to give you a gift. A gift of disobedience. In verse 18. Now the Lord sent you on a mission and said, go and utterly destroy the sinners. the Amalekites and fight against them until they are consumed. Verse 19, why then did you not obey the voice of the Lord? Verse 20, and Saul said to Samuel, but I have obeyed the voice of the Lord. Continually trying to defend the disobedience. Continually. And brought back Agag. The Lord had told him to kill him. Verse 21, but the people took of the plunder, which should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice to the Lord their God. To sacrifice is to give a gift. They want to give a gift to God. They want to manipulate God into doing what they want him to do. God says, I want you to do this. Saul says, I did everything you said. Except for that part about Agag. Here's the people kept all the best goats. The Lord said, I want them all destroyed. But we're going to keep them and sacrifice them to you. Just like Samson. He knew of his Nazarite vow. He knew he wasn't supposed to touch the grapes. He knew he wasn't supposed to be in the vineyard. He knew he wasn't supposed to touch those things that are unclean. He knew all the things that God told him. But he wants to be a partial obeyer, like the people in the text. Saul says to Samuel, has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as obeying the voice of the Lord? People think, well, here's your money, Lord. Here's your sacrifice. Here's my time. I'm obeying you. I'm giving you this gift. God says, behold, to obey is better than sacrifice. Samson was to repent of his sin, repent of his anger, repent of the way he had treated his wife, repent of the way he had treated his father-in-law. He was to repent. He was not to bring the goat, just like the people in the text. Brothers and sisters, look at verse 23 of 1 Samuel 15. Especially, you know, I hear so much today, well, Harry Potter and witchcraft and this and that and the other thing. Verse 23 of Samuel 15 tells you what witchcraft is. For rebellion. Rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. You that are rebelling against the Lord, he's telling you it is the same as witchcraft. It's the same as sorcery and stubbornness. Stubbornness. That's a sin. People just, you know, he's stubborn. She's stubborn. They're hard-headed. And stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he has also rejected you from being king. Because you rejected the word of the Lord, what the word the Lord told, you rejected. Samson was told, this is what you are to be. You are to be a Nazarite. This is the way you are to live your life. Saul was told, this is what you should do. The people of God was told, this is what you should do. But as the people of God today, they said, yeah, I understand what you said, Lord, but I'm going to do 50%, 60%, 70%, 80%, 90% of what you said. And that I'm going to say, I'm sacrificing to you. But I'm going to hold on to my rebellion. There's no such thing as partial obedience. The people in verse 19 of 1 Samuel 15, it's partial obedience. Why then did you not obey the voice of the Lord? Why then did you swoop down on the spoil and do evil in the sight of the Lord? And Saul said to Samuel, but I have obeyed the voice of the Lord and gone on a mission on which the Lord sent me and brought back Agag. How many of you have brought back Agag? Your belief system is, I believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, therefore now I'm saved. He should be happy with that. Anything else I give him on top of that, that's a bonus. That's a benny to him. I'm giving him a little play. I'm giving him a little money, a little time, a little prayer, a little reading, a little witnessing, a little evangelism, a little, little. Samuel said to Saul, it's not a little, little. It is all. The people of God, it is all. awe. Samson, it was to be awe. It's not to be partial. It is as witchcraft, brothers and sisters. After Saul's gift was rejected in the text, after the people's gift was rejected in the text, after Samson's gift was rejected, Samson responds as most of us do. Saul spent his life in vengeance and revenge against David. David was put in his place because of his manipulating God didn't work out for him. So David gets put in his place. As Saul spends his days tracking David down, hating David, trying to take revenge on David. And Saul should have took revenge on himself because he lost his place because of his wickedness, not because of what David did. And you, brothers and sisters, that lose your place is because of your wickedness. And you want to take revenge on someone else because they're following the Lord. Samson's gift was rejected, as most of our gifts will be rejected. Look in verse 3, back in Judges 15. Samson was to repent. Saul was to repent. The people of God were to repent. Judges chapter 15, verse 3. And Samson said to them, "This time, now I'm going to be blameless regarding the Philistines if I harm them. This time." See? Now we're about to see an ungodly emotion. Sin is going to rush to the forefront because Samson didn't get what he wanted. And look what he says now about this sin. Samson says, This time I'll be blameless. You know, the last time when I went down and killed them 30 fellas for their clothes, you know, my conscience was bothering me a little bit after that. You know. I was feeling a little convicted by the Lord. I was feeling the Holy Spirit convicting me a little bit. Them 30 guys, it bothered me a little bit. But this time, you gave my wife away? Now, this time, I'm going to be blameless. What I'm about to do, I'm going to have a clear conscience about it now. Now, Samson's conscience is becoming seared. When he says he's going to be blameless, that literally means to be made clean. Clear, guiltless, innocent. This time, I will be justified when I take vengeance. The more you disobey God, the more you keep on manipulating, the more you start justifying your revenge towards people, the more you feel right in what you're doing. When manipulation doesn't work usually turns into revenge, it turns into getting even, it turns into paying back. He brought a goat to have his way with the woman that he had abandoned. And he comes back with a goat in his hand. The price of a prostitute. Instead of pouring his heart out saying, "Forgive me, my wife. Forgive me, father of my wife. Forgive me for the way that I angered, that I left in anger and shamed you and abandoned you." When we don't repent, when we don't get what we want, we end up taking revenge. Samson was seeking revenge on the group. On the group. Notice, it's not even the individual. It's not even his father-in-law. You can understand, not justify, you can understand him wanting to take revenge on his father-in-law, giving his wife away. But he's going to take revenge now on all the Philistines. I'm going to take revenge on the group, not even the individual. Samson wants revenge. He wants vengeance. He's about getting even. He's about evening of the score. He's about retaliation. He is going to settle accounts. He is going to be vindictive. He's going to be punitive. And he is going to be wrathful. He says, "An eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. Revenge is sweet." Look at the bumper sticker. Don't get mad. Get even. How many times have anybody here heard that or said it themselves? I don't get mad, I get even. I will get even. Samson is unrepentant, he's a manipulator, he's angry, and he's vengeful. He's like, I came with this goat, that should have settled the accounts, you should have gave me what I wanted. You're not going to give me what I wanted, so now I'm going to pay you back. And as we shall see in Judges 15, verses 4 and 5, he still has no regard for the law of God. This is a man, he has no regard for the law of God. He is a law unto himself. He thinks that he is above the law, he's above God, he's above the commandments of God. Here's a man called of God, set apart, put in his mother's womb to be a prophet, a deliverer to the nation of Israel. But he is a law unto himself. First, Samson wants an uncircumcised Philistine daughter. I will marry a pagan. I will marry an unbeliever. He's called to be a Nazarite. He's down in the vineyards. He's called to not touch the dead. He got his hand in the carcass of the lion. In verses 4 and 5 of Judges 15, Samson, no regard for the law of God. That is the mindset in Christianity today. I'm saved by grace. I'm going to throw God some kind of a biscuit. From $5 to $500, from 5 minutes to 5 hours, whatever it is. I'm going to give him partial. I'm going to kind of serve him. I'm going to kind of love him. I'm going to kind of... That's not love. That is not love. Partial is not love. That is deception. And first of all, you are the one that's deceived. Now in verses 4 or 5 of Judges 15, now he's catching and he's touching unclean foxes or jackals. It's the same word in the Hebrew. Foxes, jackals, same word. Most commentators argue that it's jackals because they travel in packs and foxes are solitary animals. It had taken a long time to catch 300 foxes as opposed to a pack of jackals. Either way, Leviticus 11:27 says they're unclean. So here he is, once again, now I'm going to touch the unclean again. Leviticus 11:27, and whatever goes on its paws among all kinds of animals that go on all fours, those are unclean to you. Whoever touches any such carcass shall be unclean until evening. Then not only does he take and touch the jackals on top of the vineyard, on top of the pagan wife, on top of touching the dead lion, on top of that, he burns up the shocks and the standing grain. And Exodus 22 says about the shocks and the standing grain. Exodus 22, verse 6. If fire breaks out and catches in thorns, so that stacked grain, standing grain, or the field is consumed, he who kindled the fire shall surely make restitution. Here is Samson. Here, he has no regard at all for the law of God. It doesn't matter to him. He is above the law, just as Saul was, just as most of you think that you are, that you're somehow above the law. That is good for everyone else but me. It's a special case. How many times have you said, Lord, you understand? In your wickedness, in your rebellion. Lord, you understand. You understand. I'm a special individual. That is for everyone else but me. Samson had no regard for obeying the law of God. You're reading about him in two chapters. There's nothing about he prayed to the Lord. Nothing about he repented. This is supposed to be a prophet of God. Set apart in his mother's womb. And he has no regard for the law of God. And the question today is, are you a kindred spirit? Are you a kindred spirit? Are you characterized by a life of partial obedience? This is what held back the blessing in Saul's life. It is what held back the blessing in Samson's life. And as a result of losing their blessing, they became revengers. those whose life is characterized by getting even pain back. I'm not getting blessed. So these people are that. They've done this. This guy's done that. That woman's done this. My family member's done that. They did this. They did that. They did that. They have it. That's revenge. That's murder with your tongue. Gossip, murder, anger. That's all vengeance. That's all revenge. And the reason you're not being blessed is you think that somehow you can partially obey God Almighty. It's not going to work. It didn't work for Samson. It didn't work for prophets. It didn't work for the king of Israel. What in the world makes you think it's going to work for you? It just shows you how deceived you are. That God is going to take down kings, take down prophets, take down the nation of Israel. But not me. I'm above the law. Here's my gift. Here's my gift. And most believers, your gift to God is, well, I confessed him as Christ. I raised my hand one time. I signed the card. I got baptized. I had communion. I did something. He ought to be pleased with that. I know of somebody that's a millionaire that told me I give him $5 a week. It's like, that is impressive. That is an impressive gift you're bringing to God Almighty. And he thought God should be thankful. Partial obedience, brothers and sisters, do not work. Your goats will not work. That's why you are inflicting punishment, inflicting injury, inflicting pain on those around you. Because you're not blessed because of your disobedience. Judges 15:6 tells us what the fruit of all of that is. He destroys the crops. He destroys the vineyards. He destroys the olive groves. And verses 6 tells us in Judges 15, then the Philistines said, who has done this? And they answered, Samson, the son-in-law of the Timnite, because he has taken his wife and given her to his companion. So the Philistines came up and burnt her and her father with fire. Like unto like. You're a vindictive person. You want to take vengeance. You want to inflict punishment on people? Samson reaps what he sows. You love that Philistine woman so much? You're a manipulator? You think that you're able to get her and keep her by your schemes? She's dead. Samson reaps what he sowed. The father-in-law reaps what he sowed. Samson's wife reaps what she sows. And as we see, the Philistines, they reaped what they had sowed. We as Christians, brothers and sisters, we are to repent. We are to forsake, and we are to leave our sins. If you talk about repentance today, it's like a curse word. How dare you, Pastor, mention repentance? You can't even say repent without a flip of the eyes. The curl of the lip. You don't think that God sees your anger and your bitterness and your hatred because you heard of repentance? I read the same word that you're reading. I can't get away with it. You can't get away with it. No one can get away with it. And don't think, as I said, Samson came bearing gifts, not repenting of his anger, that you don't do the same. Bearing the gifts of money, of service, but not repenting. You want to throw God a little, as they did in Malachi. Banged up, bruised up, blind lambs. Just give him anything. Just give him anything. And he should be thankful for that. And then after he does it, after the Lord chastises you, puts his hand down on you that you can't move, then you're vindictive and bitter towards everybody else. You see that those around you are blessed? He must be doing something. She must be doing something. Why is that? Why they? Did you ever think maybe because they're obeying God? Maybe that's why they're being blessed. Maybe they have obeyed God and they're being blessed. And don't think that just murder is revenge. As I said, there's a million and one ways to take revenge. From one subtle little conniving words. You don't even got to say a word. There's my wife right there. I could take revenge. Don't even have to say a word. There's my daughter sitting next to her. I can do the same thing. Not even say a word. That's why I said people think revenge and vengeance is murder. It's much deeper than that. Much deeper. One conniving word, two actually murdering somebody, murdering a group of people. And God in Romans 19 tells us this. Turn over to Romans. We're going to be over there for a few minutes. Romans 12, verse 19 tells us, beloved. Now notice, here's Paul. He's calling beloved. Beloved. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. I will repay, says the Lord. We're not to be as Samson. We're not to be as Saul. We're not to be vengeful people, vindictive people, injurious people. Look at Romans 12. Just the verses leading up to that. From 14 to 18. Bless. Bless those who persecute you. Bless. Do not curse. Bless. Now, when you read in Samson, does the word blessing come into your mind? Rejoice with those who rejoice. With the bless. With to rejoice with those who rejoice. And with to weep with those who weep. I don't see nothing about bringing no goats there. I see action, blessings. Bless with those that persecute you. Bless those. Do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind towards one another. There's no room for vindictiveness, vengeance. Be of the same mind towards one another. Do not set your mind on high things. Don't think that you're more than you are. Because you thinking that you're more than you are only proves that you're less than what you think that you are. He says, be of the same mind towards one another. Set your mind. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. With the humble. I don't get humble when I read Samson. I don't get humble when I read Saul. Verse 17, repay no evil for evil. What is all the bitterness and hostility and revenge and anger and gossip and everything about? Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight, what, of all men. He's not a Christian. She's not a Christian. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. And if it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Here's Samson, he's not only afflicting his father-in-law, he's afflicting the Philistines. Verses 20 and 21 of Romans 20 and 20 of Romans 12, I'm sorry. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. Samson's doing just the opposite. He's burning down their crops and their vineyards and their olive groves. If your enemy is hungry, feed him. He's not talking about pagans here because the enemy would not be a Christian. It's not a Christian, your enemy is a Christian. He's saying if your enemy is hungry, here's Samson, he's murdering. Feed him. If he's thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. I don't see nothing there of manipulations. No one bringing goats to anybody. If anything, it was, here's a goat here, eat it. And I don't want nothing back from it. But it's not that. As Christians, brothers and sisters, We are to be humble people, meek people, forgiven people. Turn to Colossians 3. This is to be our disposition, brothers and sisters. Colossians 3, verses 12 through 14. Therefore, and notice, whenever Paul is going to tell you something, he tells you what you are in Christ first. He always indicates what you are before he gives you the imperatives. He's saying, listen, this is what you are, so now this for, therefore you act this way. Therefore, as the elect of God, so here he is, he's saying, listen, I'm talking to the elect of God. Holy. I'm talking to holy. You that feel unholy? He says, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved. Elect, holy, beloved. Those that are elect of God, those holy and beloved, he says in Colossians 12, put on tender mercies. Put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering. Does this describe you? Are you known as someone with tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering? This is the exact opposite of Samson. This is the exact opposite of Saul. Verse 13, bearing with one another. And forgiving one another. See, Samson didn't come to his father-in-law that way. Bearing with one another, forgiving one another. Dad, I understand why you would think that way. The way that I left here, left the wedding, left her behind, father-in-law, I could understand why you would have gave my wife away. Bearing with one another. That's the way Samson should have came back. But as I said, he comes bearing gifts. Yeah, this ought to appease you. But God's saying, no, this is what appeases me. Put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. It is imperative, brothers and sisters. It is imperative. You're not to try to buy someone off with a gift. You're not to try to manipulate them. You're not to try to take vengeance or to avenge. Even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. This is the way you are to act. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. There was no love with Samson. There was lust. There was no love with Judah. There was lust. There was no love with Saul. There was lust. We, brothers and sisters, we are to put on love. Love, which is the bond of perfection. Saul partially obeyed, and his life ended in tragedy. Samson partially obeyed, and his life ended in tragedy. If you look at the churches in Revelation, they partially obeyed, and you're hard-pressed to find a church in any of those areas that's mentioned in Revelation. And brothers and sisters, if you and I partially obey, our life will end in tragedy. Our life will end in tragedy. There is no such thing as partial obedience. We are to pursue hard after God, press in upon God. Someone that loves someone, and they're loved back, they respond in gratitude. As I said from this pulpit many times, your actions betray your beliefs. If I said that I love my wife, and I didn't spend no time with her, you'd probably say, I think Bill's a liar. If I didn't talk with her, bless her, have conversations with her, be around her often, You would say, what kind of love affair do they have? What kind of relationship is that? The tragedy about partial obedience is it keeps you away from God. God is our inheritance, brothers and sisters. We will be with Him for all eternity. And we're spending our time gathering all this stuff onto ourselves. And in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, you were going to see ourselves as we really are. And all of this stuff is gone. Everything. From the houses, the cars, the money, the relationships, the ministries, the accolades, everything is gone in a moment. This soul, this spirit, everything is going to be stripped away. And you're going to be naked before Almighty God. And everything you try to hide is going to be right there. All the things, that's what the world does. They gather all these things onto themselves to cover up what they truly are inside. And the moment they die, all of that is stripped away. And it's the same with us as believers. The moment we die, this soul, when you wake up in the morning and God's saying to you, come, open the Bible, come on your knees. And you say, I got something else to do. Whatever that thing that you got to do, in the end, that's gone. Whatever you thought that thing is that's more important than God Almighty is going to be gone. God wants you to obey Him. That's like a curse word today. Obey? That's legalism, dude. You're a legalist. No. Somebody that's saved by the grace of God. Someone that has been saved by the grace of God. That understands that to the one who does not work, but believes in Him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted as righteousness. A person that has been saved by grace shows the gratitude of being saved by grace by obeying God Almighty. Somebody that has been saved by grace says, Lord, I love You. What do You want from me? And the Lord will say to me the same thing He says to every one of us. He wants you to obey Him. And it has nothing to do with legalism. It has nothing to do with works righteousness. A person that knows that he has been imputed with the righteousness of Jesus Christ. How could such a person act in response to that? We are to put on the new man, it says. We're to put off the old. We're to put on tender mercies. We're to put on love. For we have been raised with Christ, it says. What does that mean? We have been raised with Christ. It doesn't say you're going to be raised with Christ. It says you have been raised with Christ. See, as I said, your actions betray your beliefs. You say you believe these things, but you act differently. You have been raised with Christ, and our life is hidden with Christ. Your life is hidden now. And it says, when Christ appears, we shall be with Him in glory. If you are going to be with Him in glory, what should you be doing now? Well, I gotta, whatever the I gotta is. You're going to be with Him in glory. So, glory will be no sin, no pursuing after your thing, being with Him all the time. So I would beg you and plead with you, as the elect of God, as holy, as blameless, brothers and sisters, I beg with you, I plead with you, I would cry with you, I would give you a gift if I could. But Christ has given His life for you, brothers and sisters. Do you not think that it is time to put away the idols? To put away the idols. How long? This is year after year. I've known some of you guys almost 20 years. And it's like you're in the same place you were for 20 years. It's like Christ has not called you for that. Christ has called you to pour out your life for Him. He loves you too much to leave you in your idolatry.